Zweite Eterway, Manchester Jud Aleph. Hier, Toshin 1 sein, Hübscham Sprünge.
Good morning to you all. On this particular day, one is a little bit torn between talking about the topical subject, which is Sviras HaEmer, and Matan Torah, because this day, day number 26, it is in fact, of the Sviras HaEmer, is sort of just about halfway. We're just about halfway, and therefore you're sort of almost equidistant from Matan Torah as we are from the beginning of Sviras HaEmer. But I decided that there is a special reason, which you'll hear in a minute, why it was topical and also relevant to talk about Sviras HaEmer. Now, I'd like to start with the psukim that underpin two mitzvahs in the Torah. Mitzvah number one is called the Korban HaEmer. So let's read the pasuk about the Korban HaEmer. Davel b'nei Yisrael v'amarta aleihem ki savayu el oretz. Speak to Klal Yisrael that when they come into Eretz Yisrael, asher ninosim lachem uketzartim eskatzira, and they will harvest their grain. And then the Torah says, here comes the mitzvah, they shall bring an omer of what they have reaped to the kohen. What should the kohen do with it? The kohen takes this sheaf of corn, in fact it's barley, and he waves it in all directions like we wave a lulav, forwards, backwards, up and down, side to side, to signify that HaKadosh Baruch is in all directions, gives us our panosa from wherever. Now, when should that be done? What is the actual time period as when that particular korban should be brought? Torah tells us, Mimochras HaShabbos Yanifenu HaKoyen. It should be done on the morrow of the Shabbos. Now, if you and I were translating the Torah, we would say, this means Sunday. Yeah, everybody knows, Chazal Darshan, from various sources, that in fact, Mimochras HaShabbos is in fact the day after the first day of Pesach, first day of Chol HaMoed in Eretz Yisrael, our Yom Tov Sheni in Chutz LaOretz, that's the time when you bring the Korban HaEmer. In our language, 16th of Nisan. So 16th of Nisan, you bring this special Korban comprising an Omer, which is a measure, an Omer of this corn, of this barley, and the Kohen shall take it in this very important day where he waves it in all directions, and that's what the Torah tells us about Korban HaEmer. Right, so far so good. We now know the taich of the words Mochras HaShabbos, which means the day after the first day of Pesach. Let's move on. A few psukim later, just a very few psukim, the same parasha Chaf Gimel, next week, this week, etc. Taka this week, etc. In Emaya, the Torah says, Usfaratim lechem imochras HaShabbos, and those of people who say the Kavona before Sviras HaEmer, not everybody does, the Chassidim do, the Litviks don't, but Lemaisa, we all know these psukim, Usfaratim lechem imochras HaShabbos, Mochras HaShabbos again, just a few psukim later. But I know the taich of Mochras HaShabbos, which is the day after the first day of Pesach. I've learnt it from when we were doing the Korban HaEmer. Now we're doing a different mitzvah, which we call Sviras HaEmer. Or rather, Chazal calls Sviras HaEmer. Torah never calls it that. But Chazal call it Sviras HaEmer. And the Torah tells us, Sfaratim Chemim Mochras HaShabbos, which I already know is the 16th of Nisan, because I learnt it when we were doing the Korban HaEmer. And then the Torah does something very strange. It then tells me, Miyoyim Aviyachim Esoyim HaTnufo, from the day that I bring this Omer which we wave. In other words, the Torah is telling me the same thing twice. It's telling me Mochas HaShabbos, which is the 16th of Nisan. And then it says, Miyoyim Aviyachim Esoyim HaTnufo, which I already know from a few psukim earlier, is in fact Omer Tanufa, which is done on the 16th. The Torah is effectively said, telling me, you bring it on the 16th, start counting on the 16th, start counting on the 16th. Now you know and I know, the Torah never gives us any redundancy. The Torah never tells us something that we don't need to know or that is already told us. So why are we being told the same information twice? Mochas HaShabbos is the 16th, Miyoyim Aviyachim is Omer Tanufa is the 16th, why? Listen to a wonderful, elegant vort from Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch. Now, why I said it's relevant is because you know and I know, we all know, even if you don't read the papers, we all know there's an election in the air. There are elections all over the place. In Europe there are elections, there have just been local elections, and of course we're going to have a general election, you know, a couple of weeks' time, a few weeks' time. Elections all over the place. What does an election mean? We have in this country, we have two major parties, the Conservatives and the Labour. And if you ask a man in the street, not in these streets because mostly they're Yidden, a man in the street a little bit further away, an average guy in the street, what do you want from your leaders? What do you want from your government? Ask them what he wants. Well, I want a hospital, and I want an army, and I need a police force. He lists a whole lot of things, and they're all under the heading, if you like, of some sort of protection. I need security. I want to feel secure. When I walk the streets, I want to feel I won't be attacked. If another country attacks my country, I want to feel that we have an army that can protect us. I need a hospital to go to if I get ill, etc. I need security. That's what the average man in the street will tell you. But you need more. That's not enough. You know, I need to have a means of earning a living. Yeah, there should be jobs. There should be abilities to make businesses. There should be some means of wealth creation in a land. Otherwise, we're all poor. Okay, so government, you want two things from a government. And everybody will tell you the same. I want these things that amount to security. And I want these things that amount to prosperity. Those are the two things you need from a government. Nothing more than that. And every party, both parties, are actually promising you that they will give you that. Only they are promising you in different ways. But le maisa, at the end of the day, the bottom line is they're promising you two basic things. Security and prosperity. That's what they're doing. I can tell you, gentlemen, or anyone else is listening, that if I could promise the country, if I could guarantee absolutely that I could give you, I could provide security and prosperity, I would be Prime Minister tomorrow. Okay? If we could guarantee it. Only each of the parties are making promises which you know and I know they can't keep. But the point about it is that that's what they're offering, security and prosperity. Zoktov Hirsch, he says, that is okay for all the nations in the world. All they want, all the average goy wants, is to be sure that he has the security that he needs and the prosperity that he needs, and he's finished. He's fertig. That's all fine. Let's think for a moment. What does Mochas HaShabbos mean? It means the day after the first day of Pesach. What were you doing on Pesach? What were you doing on Seder night? What you were doing was, you were throwing open your door, and you were saying, we can't be attacked, I'm perfectly protected, it's Leil Shemurim. That's what we were all doing on Seder night. We had Leil Shemurim. We were celebrating yesterday, the day before Mochas HaShabbos, we were celebrating our security, the way that Rabbeinu Shalom can supply everything we need. Yeah, there's a sea in the way, he passed the sea. There are Egyptians in the way, he drowns Egyptians. He does what he needs to do, yeah, in order to provide our security. So Rabbeinu Shalom proved in umpteen ways that he can give us absolute security, where we can be absolutely sure we are safe. Leil Shemurim. Well, that was the day before. In other words, you've got your security. You just celebrated it. You've just had a Yom Tov actually proving and celebrating the fact that you've got your security. That's number one. Number one is Mochas HaShabbos, that the day before you were acknowledging that the Rabbeinu Shalom can give you full security. What's happening today as well? We have just told before, when we were learning the parasha of the Omer, that the Omer was also brought on the 16th of Nisan. What does the Omer represent? The Omer is an amazing korban, which we'll go through later on, a little bit about its attributes. An amazing korban, but basically, it's a toido. It's a mincha, a toido. It's a thank you to the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's why Chodosh is also before, because we want to acknowledge that all our parnosa comes from the Rabbeinu Shalom, and everything that we have, everything that we, so to speak, produce, is in fact produced by the Rabbeinu Shalom. So the korban that we bring, this korban, Omer, is a thank you korban. It's a mega thank you. And we're saying to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, we're thanking you for our panosa. Well, let's translate that into the language we were using before. That's prosperity. So in other words, when we bring that Omer on the 16th of Nisan, we are saying, Rabbeinu Shalom, you are supplying our prosperity. So on the 16th of Nisan, what have you got? You've got Pesach, which represents security. And you've got the Omer, which represents prosperity. That's the frustrating Pasuk. That the Pasuk says, Fartim Lechem, says Rav Hirsch, that's good for the Goyim. Once you've got their security and prosperity, they're finished. They're okay. Nothing more you have to promise them. But you, Yidden, this is where you start. When you've got your security and you've got your prosperity, that's when you start counting towards something much higher, towards Matan Torah. You're totally different. So in other words, the subtext of this whole pasuk is saying, Rabbi Shem is telling us, you don't worry about security, I'll worry about that. You don't worry about prosperity, I'll worry about that. You worry about your ruchnius. You march towards some higher aim, some higher purpose, some higher event, which is going to take place in 49 days. And then, you know, that is what a yid should be. Where they stop, we start. And we move on from there. Okay. So far, we have a very nice pshat in why the Torah uses this double expression. I'm going to go on a bit, and this comes from a lovely sefer, which you're probably all familiar with, but this is a longer piece, a more complicated piece, and it's from the Be'er Yosef, from Yosef Salant, nothing to do with Restore Salant, a different family, and he explains to us about the background of Sfiras Omer, and together with the Korban Omer and the Sfiras Omer, and how it all works. Let's ask one or two questions. We've just done the psukim, and we know that somehow or other, this Sfiras Omer is connected with the Korban Omer. It's true that it actually starts, the Sfiras Omer starts on the same date as the Korban Omer's role, but Lemaisa, there's no real connection between them at all. You bring the Korban Omer once and once only on the 16th, and then you start counting. What is the connection between the two? So, the other thing is that this is a mincha, as I mentioned before. It's a mincha, and in each of the cases of the mincha, we say it in all the Yom Tov davening, for example, and the term used by the Torah, the amount of flour that you use in a mincha is asiris or eifa. In fact, there's a pasuk in B'Shalach which tells us that the omer measure equals and is identical with asiris eifa. It's exactly the same. Yet, with all the other minchas that we have, the Torah calls it asiris or eifa. Only in this case does the Torah call it omer. Why? Why the change? Why the difference? Why is this mincha different from all the other minchas, to use an expression which we are familiar with? And the second question is, why is this Sfiras Omer linked with the Korban Omer? The Korban has got nothing to do with it, and of course we know what the purpose of Sfiras Omer is. Medrash says asay. The Medrash says that the Korban Omer was something extremely valuable and extremely important. I'll read you a few of the examples that the Medrash brings. That Rav Yochanan Omer la'olam al ti mitzvah sa'omer kala be'enecha. Treat the Omer with deep and great respect. Sha'alidei mitzvah sa'omer zoch Avram li'erush ha'eretz. Because through the Korban Omer, that Klal Yisrael in the future were going to bring, that was the zchus of the children of Avram that allowed Avram to Yarshin Eretz Yisrael. It was that future zchus. That's an enormous zchus. It must have enormous effect. In other words, the Rabbeinu Shalom is pinning the reward that he gives to Avraham Avinu on what his children are going to do later on. What's that? Bringing up the Korban Omer, we are told. So, another example, in a certain example, another opinion, and then he brings a pasuk, and then we'll see that later on, and then there's another one which we're more familiar with. When Haman turned up at Mordechai's house to take him for a ride round Shushan, he asked Mordechai, what are you doing? Now that was in fact this day that we're talking about, Tes Vov Nissan, Tes Zayin Nissan, on the 16th of Nissan. And of course, on the Chag, when you can't do the normal Karbonos, so instead you learn about the Karbonos. So Mordechai was learning with this Talmidim, he was learning Hilchas Kemitza, the halachas about what goes on with the Mincha. And Haman was saying, what are you doing? And he said, that you've got to take this Asirah Se'efah. And so Haman said, yeah, you know, obviously a dejected Haman, a little bit upset that he's got to drive Mordechai around Shushan that day. Your tents is going to cancel out all the 10 bundles of gold that I gave King Achashverosh in order to annihilate you. Your little kamitza, your little handful of dough is going to annihilate it. So we see that there's a great schus in the Korban Oimer, even learning about the Korban Oimer, which we mentioned here. So there's something about it which is enormously powerful. The Sefer HaChinuch tells us that the reason for the Korban Oimer, and I've already mentioned that in the previous vort from Rav Hirsch, that it's to acknowledge the chesed ha-godol she'oseh Hashem in Briyosov, that it's the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does with all his bris, l'chadish lehem shono, shono, tfuo, lemichyo. That the Rosh Hashem gives us every single year, gives us the parnosa that we need, and we acknowledge that by bringing this one Korban per year. So it's all about the chesed of the Ribbono Shel. When he comes to talk about the next mitzvah on the list, which is Sfiras Oimer, the Chinuch says that the ik of Sfiras Oimer is so that we should anticipate Matan Torah, in order to show our eagerness about Matan Torah, so we count the days. So to speak, if you're counting something and you're anticipating something that you're going to be very keen about, you normally sort of cross the days off the calendar. The problem is with the Chinuch's Pshat is that we should be crossing days off, not counting days and accumulating them. The answer is, if I may be moisif something, it's just to digress for a moment or two about the whole system of Sfiras Oimer and what the Grosser mentioned do with it. We all know that when you have a look in the Siddur, and sometimes in the shul, on the chart on the wall, there is always a couple of words connected with each day of the Sfiras Oimer. And they correspond to a system which is that each week of Sfiras Oimer has got a name. So the first week of Sfiras Oimer is called the Chesed week. The second one is called the Gevura week. The third one's called the Tiferes week. So each of the weeks has got a name. The whole week. And by the way, of course, we've noticed that this corresponds to the Shpizin that we have hanging in the Sukkah, Lemaisa, yeah? Chesed is Avraham, Gevurah is Yitzchak, Tiferes is Yaakov, Netzach is Moshe, and so on. An interesting connection, you can say a Shekel Torah on it. But Lemaisa, every week has got a name, a Middah of some sort. Within each week there are 7 days. Each of those days has a day name. And so you basically have a grid, which I'll hold up, whether you can see it or not, doesn't matter. You have the rows being representing the weeks, and the columns representing the days. So every single day you have the middle of that day within the generality of the week. Today, Tzufelik 26, is Hoyd Shebenetzach. Hoyd Shebenetzach has a certain quality about it, a certain middah, and we know that the Grosser Menschen used to work on these middahs, and it's a lot of it is Kabbalistic, we don't necessarily understand it, but quite a bit of it we can work out ourselves. Just one or two examples. Take the second day of the Sfira, is Gevurah Shebechesed. Gevurah Shebechesed, let's take that as an example, just explain it and then we'll move on. Chesed is a wonderful thing to have. A fantastic middah, of course. We know Avraham Avinu was the greatest person to Chesed. And we all aspire to be Balei Chesed, Balois Chesed. We all aspire to that madrega of Chesed. But Chesed should not be unlimited. If you say yes, yes, yes to everything, then maybe that'll lead you in a path which you shouldn't be. Interestingly enough, in yesterday's Sedra, you'll have noticed that one of the Aroyas has the word Chesed in it. And you wonder, what is Chesed doing in one of the Aroyas? And the answer is that if you say yes to everything, you might find yourself in a place where you shouldn't be. Yeah, having a relationship which you shouldn't have. Yes, even Chesed can be unlimited. So what? So therefore you have Gevurah Shebe Chesed. You've got to be able to limit it in some way. You've got to show Gevurah sometimes to say no. Child wants a dangerous tool or dangerous thing or wants to go to, you say no. You've got to be able to say no as well. So that's Gevurah Shebe Chesed. And you can do this with each of the pairs on 49. And each one has a certain madriga, a certain middah, and a certain way of aspiring to eventually reaching, as the Chinuch says, reaching Matan Torah. And the Greatest mentioned, you are to work on their midas each day, the new one, each one the new pair, in such a way that they reached all the madregas they need to reach, and at the end of it they had all 49, and we generally call it the 49 Shari Kedusha. So there was a sort of step ladder with 49 Sharis on it, 49 gates, and we stepped up to the 49 Shari Kedusha, so that at Loshon Chazal we were at Matan Torah, prepared to receive the Torah, and we were so pure by that time, back in the Midbar, that we are compared to Adam HaRishon Koidem HaChet, which is in a madrega which we can't even begin to imagine. Yeah, before the sin, and we were the Yigiyah Kapha of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the actual first manufacturer, the first one off the conveyor belt was Adam HaRishon Koidem HaChet, and that's what Klal Yisrael was like at the eve of Matan Torah, with all the purification and all these midas. Now, to answer the kasha on the chinuch, it's as though if we've got this in our hand, we understand that it's not just a ticking off the dates on the calendar. It's an accumulation. It's an avodah. It's a process. So each day we want to add to the previous day. Each day we tick off what we've done, so that the pile gets bigger and bigger, so that the collection of midas get bigger and bigger, and so we're preparing ourselves ever more. So it's quite right that we should be counting up, not down, because we are wanting to move up with the system. If we understand a little bit about the system, then this is exactly what follows. Get back to our shilas. So that's the chinuch, and in summary, summarize what we've said from this particular shid, the second part, is that the korban oimer is the chesed Hashem, yeah, and the sfiras oimer is getting from Yetzias Mitzrayim to Matan Torah through these grades of kedusha. Now, let us give the Omer a little bit more prominence. Now, the Omer must be important in Sfiras Omer. We can't just say they're two separate things, because if you want a raya that the Chachamim considered that there is a connection between Sfiras Omer and Korban Omer, you can't go very much. You need not go very much further than the bracha. The bracha is a Shekel Shon Soisiv Tzivonu. So our Chachamim have formulated a bracha which actually contains the word Omer. So it can't just be irrelevant. There must be a connection. So, the Bei Yosef is going to make a suggestion which I'll put to you. Maybe the suggestion is, and why it's named like that, and why it's brought on the 16th of Nisan, and why we start counting. So let me just read you a quote which gives the game away, in a way, very, very beautifully. Isa Khan B'medish Rabba, Omer Abrachia. Rab Brachia said, Omer Kodesh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. The Rabbeinu Shloinim said to Moshe, Emoi Elohem LeYisrael, tell them this. This is a message I want you to give to Klal Yisrael. Kisho Yisi Noisim Lechemes Hamon. When I was giving you the mon in the Midbar, I gave each and every one of you an oimer. An oimer is a measure. We already know it's a serious eifer, but that's irrelevant. It's an oimer. The Torah says it's an oimer. Okay, and I was giving every single one of you. How many oimers? You said you didn't have any numbers today, but maybe you should have brought your calculator, Antony, after all. 600,000 for the men, 600,000 for the women, and an equal number of children, that's 2.4 million. So the Rabbi Nishlam delivered, min HaShemayim, 2.4 million oimeris per day. It's a lot of oimeris. It's a lot of mon, okay? An enormous amount of delivery, I suggest. Better than any delivery that we can... approximately right? Have I got the number right? 2.4. Mayor Veiniger. 1.2. 1.2 is 2.4.
There's one child. What about the children?
Yeah, so 600,000 men, 600,000 men, and an equal number of children.
Two children.
Oh, maybe even be more than that. Okay, fine. We're talking about the billions. Multiply that by 365, and you've got billions of... Huh?
What about
the older people? The older people. So many, many more. You're making it even better. You're making my case even better, even stronger. Shkoyach. So I've minimized it. At least 2.4 million a day, if not, as you all said. Let's see what the Medrash says. V'achshav. So I delivered, says the Rabbi Shem, I did my bit, huh? I delivered you millions of omeris per day, maybe billions. V'achshav. Now that you're giving me back my omer, notice, Omer, I'm not asking every one of you to give an oimer. I'm asking for one oimer to be brought in the base of Mikdash once a year on behalf of the whole nation. And not only that, the cheapest corn you can get. Okay, so that's what the Rabbi Shem is asking us in return for all the millions and billions of oimers he gave us in the Midbar. One oimer per year, that's all I want from you. Zok the Medrash. Lefikach, Moshe, Mazes, Yisrael, Va'om Alehem, Ve'evesim, as oimer, and the seriousness of it, there's a Zoya coming, but I'm not going to do it. Yeah, that the seriousness of the oimer is amazing. Thank you to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. So we got the secret now, haven't we? The secret is that the oimer of the Korban Oimer is in recognition for the Oimer of the Mon that we got in the desert. That's the connection. That's what it's all about. We're saying thank you for that Oimer. That's why the Torah uses that Loshen of Oimer to tell you that for 40 years Hashem supplied Klal Yisrael in a miraculous manner a food per day. And therefore, you know, this was exceptional. And on Friday, as we know, there were two oimers for everybody. There was two. There was Lech HaMishnah, from where we get the minig of Lech HaMishnah on Shabbos. And so therefore, in the Midbar, we ate an oimer a day, no more, no less. And wherever they went, whether this place and that place, the 42 Masois, Mon was there, so to speak, on the plate outside their door, wherever, how much distance, everyone got an oimer. No preparations necessary at all. You didn't have to grind it, but you could if you like. You didn't have to boil it, you could if you like. It was fully absorbed by the body. It was absolutely absorbed, and presumably, if we put it in a modern context, they didn't get any fatter. Okay? They didn't get any fatter. They're fully absorbed by the body. It was no waste products. Kuloi ruchni. And so, in other words, this is a 40-year demo that the Rabbeinu Shalom is giving Klal Yisrael. I can do it. I can supply, if you like. And that's the point about we are now celebrating by bringing the Korban Omer our bitochen that the Rabbeinu Shalom can supply. Okay, that was the Midbar. Very, very nice. Everybody understood in the Midbar that this was miraculous bread. All the things we've listed, that it came on a plate, he didn't have to be tochen, he didn't have to do anything, no human involvement at all. But now you're going into Eretz Yisrael. You're going into Eretz Yisrael and everything's going to change. The mon's got to stop. And now, to get a loaf of bread on your table, you are going to have to plow, you're going to have to sow, and water, and reap, and grind, and knead, and bake. A ganze malocha, whole system of malochas that you're going to have to do in order to get a shtickel broit on the table. And you're going to sweat, and you're going to work. And you come home and you think, ah, oh, lovely corn in the field. Me. My energy, my know-how, my skill, my cleverness about, you begin to think it's you. So the Torah tells you that it's not you at all. Remember the way the Rabbeinu Shel Olam gave you the parnosa in the desert in a miraculous way. Well, you say, well, it's different now. Now I'm doing the work. Before, he was doing the work. Listen to what the Be'er Yosef says and how we put this together. Firstly, in the time of Yirmiyah, when the Eden were having very difficulty with the Parnosa, they came to Yirmiyah and says, "Bamem nisparnasu, how should we get Parnosa?" And he took out the Tzinsenes Hamon that was in the Mishkan, later on in the base of Mikdash, and he showed them that this is how the Rabbeinu Shalom did it in the desert, in the Midbar. The Rabbeinu Shalom can give you Parnosa. Go and learn, go and daven, and you'll find that the Rabbeinu Shalom is perfectly capable of giving you Parnosa. So in other words, what we've got here with this Medrash is that the Korban Oimer was there to remember the Mon, to remember there is a connection. And Dafka on the 16th of Nisan. The 16th of Nisan is a very important date. Why? Because we know that that's when the Mon ceased. When they crossed over into Eretz Yisrael on the 16th of Nisan in the 40th year, that's when they had no more Mon. In fact, the Gemara in Kedushin goes even further and gives us the exact detail. Gemara in Kedushin describes to us that the Mon was actually Beskus Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, the first bracha of the benching, Hazon Asayinim Kula B'tuvoi, is composed by Moshe Rabbeinu, and it dates back to the time that we had the Mon, Beskus Moshe. That was Moshe's contribution. Of course, we know that Miriam and Aaron contributed to somebody else. The Mon was from Moshe Rabbeinu. When did Moshe Rabbeinu die? When was he Nifta? On the 7th of Adar. So on the 7th of Adar, in the 40th year, the mon actually stopped falling. However, although generally they weren't allowed to keep the mon in any keli at all until next day, on this occasion they were. They were allowed to keep the mon that fell on the 7th of Adar, and this mon had an additional magical quality about it, that it lasted for 5 weeks until the 16th of Nisan. Yeah, this 5 weeks between the 7th of Adar and the 16th of Nisan, it lasted 5 weeks, and it was mefarnes everybody. They were full after they eating their bit of mon, and it lasted, it didn't rot or anything, until the 16th of Nisan. What happened on the 16th of Nisan? 16th of Nisan, they crossed over the border, and they could start taking from Tvuah Sa'aretz. They could start taking from the Ketuvah of Eretz Yisrael. And so what we've got here is a junction between the cessation of the mon on the one hand, and now the use of Tvuah Eretz Yisrael on the other. And on that day, we'll call it now in modern language, the interface. It's 16th of Nisan is the interface between the mon in the desert and the Tvuah Sa'aretz. And what does the Torah say? Oimer! This is the Korban Omer. What's it telling us? What's the message? The message is very powerful. That yesterday you had miraculous bread called mon. Nobody but a fool would have recognized. No one except the fool would say, this is obviously Lechem Min HaShemayim. Nobody had any doubt about that. It's Lechem Min HaShemayim. Yeah, we didn't have to do a thing at all about it. Whereas today, we've got to work for it. We've got to plow, we've got to sow, etc. All the things we mentioned before. So it's different. No, says the Torah. The Omer is the interface on the 16th. Exactly the same. The way HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you your bread yesterday, when it was raining down from heaven, and everyone understood it was from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And so similarly today, although you're putting in some effort, and you think that effort has results, nothing to do with you at all, it's exactly as miraculous as it was when mon was falling, that you get bread on the table today, is that you have parnasa today. It's exactly the same miracle. And it all comes together on that 16th of Nisan, when we transition from the Omer of the mon to the Omer of the Korban that we have. Now, just one last knetch before we leave the subject. And this is, how does that bind together with Sfiras Omer? But Yosef suggests, a very nice suggestion, that we understand now the Korban Omer fairly thoroughly and its role. But think of it, this time between Pesach and Shavuos, a man went through the field and worked all day, and he came home pretty exhausted at night. The Korban Omer was brought 2 weeks ago, in fact, 25 days ago, Korban Omer. Korban Omer is just now a memory. So the suggestion is that what Sfiras Omer is, and its connection with the Korban Omer, is that our own private thank you on a daily basis, that all the corn I got together during the day, all the hard work and the sweat down my brow, etc. In fact, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm thanking you for it. So it's our own private, if you like, mini Korban Omer. It's an extension of that process. So it's got two roles now, hasn't it, in the Beis HaMikdash, at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Role number one is, the way the Chinuch told us that it's got the Midas, that we get together in order to reach Matan Torah in the right frame of mind, with the right Kedusha, with the right Madrega, with the 49 steps. And the other one is a private thank you to the Ribbono Shel Olam for giving me my Parnasa. I worked all day. I'm coming home exhausted. I now need to say something because I want to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is my Sfiras Omer. So it's got this other secondary role, and that's why our Chachomim, you know, told us to do it even post Beis HaMikdash, even when you haven't got the Omer. And that's why some hold it's only Mishra Rabbanon, it's not Doraisa, because we haven't got the Omer anymore. So we now have why, when it's connected to the Omer, it's Doraisa. But the Rabbanon wanted us to acknowledge the fact that it's also important even post Beis HaMikdash, because we all, Baruch Hashem, have Panosa, and we come back, if you like, to the way this korban was waved around. It was waved around in all directions, because we can get Panosa in very many different ways, not only because you're tilling the ground and planting corn and getting farming produce. We all get it in different ways. You either become a teacher, a lawyer, a businessman, whatever. There are lots and lots of different ways of having Panosa. What the Torah is telling you, Hainifes HaKoyen in all directions, doesn't matter where you make your pennies. Lemaise, at the end of the day, it's all the Ribbono Shel Olam giving it to us. And that's the message, and Sfiras Omer. Another one little last knetch, perhaps I'll say just a few more words about the Hainif part of it, which is, interestingly enough, we said that this Sfiras Omer has got in it the concept of, and we know, it's got the concept we count 3 weeks and 5 days, yeah, for today's. So the question is, I count 26 days. Why then do I have to then say 3 weeks and 5 days? It's a repetition. What for? So we want the days, and we want the weeks and the days as well. Favos. All right, there are machlokes in the Gemara. This is how we paskin. So what do we actually do? When we count Sefirot HaYomim, that's what we're actually doing. We're mentioning the day number, 26, and we're mentioning the weeks, 3 weeks and 5 days. What's the role? Remember the mon? Yeah, you can't have forgotten the mon already. Yeah, remember the mon? What did the mon do? The mon also knew when the week was up. Because on Friday, there was a double portion. So we're emulating with our Sefirot HaYomim, we're emulating with this way of counting the day, which we could say are the midis, day by day, that we talked about. And also, the week and the day emulates the way the mon fell. Every single day, and on Friday there was a double portion, so he was recognizing the weeks as well. So we have this beautifully coming together. So we got the panosa from the Korban Omer, and we got our private thank you. Say, without just one or two words about the Heinif HaKoyen, I've got 1 or 2 minutes left, in that Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Yom Hanaf, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was Masakin the Yom Hanaf. Why is Hanofa so important? And the Menachos didn't have it. And he said that to recognize it was Lechem in HaShemayim, to acknowledge that idea, Lechem in HaShemayim. And of course now in Eretz Yisrael, as we mentioned, that it's a different sort of focus, and therefore being in Mitzrayim, or post-Mitzrayim, that we were there and we are counting towards Matan Torah, and that therefore we want to recognize all those different factors. The final factor that I want to mention is that what we want to do, because you might taina, this is Nefesh HaChaim, Nefesh HaChaim says you might taina, well, when they were in the desert, they were, you know, in seventh heaven, so to speak, they were on a Madrega of Ruchnius, which is something which is an unrepeatable offer. Whereas when they came to Eretz Yisrael, it's true, we might recognize that the Rebbeinu Shem sends us our parnasa, yes, but lamaisa, I'm living on a different madrega. I am reaping, I am plowing, I am doing all these things, so I'm on a low madrega. So how do we raise our madrega? The answer is, we can be mekadish the food that grows. When we mekadish the food that grows, then we're lifting it up to a position of kedusha as well. And I once heard that the way we do that is say a brocha. When you say a brocha, you are extracting the kedusha from the produce, from the apple. Say a brocha on an apple, and there's a lovely story of Rabbi Miller, Rabbi Victor Miller, where his son used to bring his children as well, so his grandchildren used to come to visit him now and again. And they were allowed to have the run of the house. They had a big house in America, or flat, or wherever, and they were allowed to go where they were. They were not allowed to go into grandpa's office. That was private, they weren't allowed to go. Anyway, this grandson writes about the way, of course, being a child, he had to go into grandpa's office, and once when he wasn't there, he slipped into the office and looked around. This was a place he'd never been before, and he's there looking around, and all of a sudden he hears his grandfather coming back. So what does he do? He hides under the table. Hides under the table, and there he is, cowering under the table. Grandfather sits down, and he hears the chair creak, and then all of a sudden he starts talking. Rabbi Miller starts talking, and he sees, or he hears, that he's talking to an apple. Apple, how wonderful you are. This is typically Rabbi Miller, Rabbi Victor Miller. As your smell is beautiful, your aroma is wonderful, the skin is so smooth, and I know that you're so tasty. He keeps talking to this apple. Having talked to the apple, he then says a bracha after that. Having praised the apple and the Rabbi Shalom for making this apple, he says the bracha. And the grandson says, I can still hear my grandfather making this bracha and turning this apple from a dover gashmi into a dover ruchni. An amazing thing. And of course, that's what we are trying to do with our acknowledgement of the Rebbeinu Shloim, is we are trying to turn Dovah Gashmi, Devarim Gashmi, into something that is Ruchnius. That is what we aspire to. That is when we want to reach. In getting to Matan Torah, we will get there, continue to say the Sefirot HaYomim, to do the mitzvah of Sefirot HaYomim, and we will go step by step up the Shari Kedusha in Mitzvah Hashem, that we and all of Klal Yisrael will be prepared on the day to receive the Torah once again, as we have done every year since the original Matan Torah.
You remove the mizmor and put it in the veranda.